Blog Talk Radio.
Joan Carvey, and I am here hosting for Sala South Florida Radio. And today my guest is a young man that I met in Atlanta when I was a member of the Atlanta branch of Sala. His name is Sean Jones, and he's a ninth grade special education teacher, but he's also the president of the Sala Atlanta branch. And he has a special program that he's working on for March 16th. And I'm going to let him tell you all about it. So we're opening the line. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Joan. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you feeling in this most desperate of times?
I feel as well as we expect. Well, I'm great. I'm great because I woke up this morning and all my fans and family and friends woke up this morning. Did have one tragedy here in Atlanta. Dr. Jacqueline Rouse passed away, renowned historian who spent several years, decades even, at Georgia State University. So we're all sad about her passing because she was a giant with respect to history, African-American history, and the documentation of. So in that sense, I'm sad, but God called her home, so God bless her and her family. But other than that, it's a beautiful day down here in Atlanta, so I can't complain.
Good. That's good. So tell us about your program. First of all, tell us what Atlanta is doing with Sala right now. You're the president.
I am the president. Got a promotion, I guess. it actually still hasn't been put to a vote. So right now, I'm the acting president. But I am president, and I appreciate that. Our chapter was chartered in 2015 at the Centennial Conference of Asala National. And at that conference, we were chartered in 2015 here in Atlanta. So we've been active ever since then, just out in the community and educating the community as best we can about our history, not just in Atlanta, but throughout the diaspora, throughout the nation, throughout the diaspora. We're specifically working on some things that we're pretty proud of here in the Atlanta branch. We have partnered with Morris Brown College, Georgia Trust, and the Friends of Fountain Hall. Fountain Hall is a building on Morris Brown College's campus that has been around since the days of W.B. Du Bois. W.B. Du Bois's office was in that building. He at least began to write Souls of Black Folks in that building. So we have partnered with the Georgia Trust. Dr. Candy Tate here has secured a grant of some X hundred thousands of dollars to preserve that building, have it be a national or historic building here in Atlanta. So we're very proud of that. And we're also in partnership with the National Park Service about that as well. So we're working on that, and then we're always disseminating information, having Black History programs. Usually in June, we partner with the Juneteenth celebration here, and we present at that location, at that event as well. So that's what we're doing all year round. And at the same time, trying to come up with new and innovative ways to reach the youth and reach families about not just Black history here in America, but not, as I said, African-American history throughout the diaspora.
Okay. So on May 16th, you will be celebrating Malcolm X. And what does that look like?
So the short of that, Joan, is that I love Malcolm X. I love what Malcolm X presented. Haj Malik El Shabazz, I love what he stood for as a man. I love what he stood for as a Black man in America facing the tribulations that we have since the founding of this country. Since the founding of this country, having fought in every war, having been instrumental in the capitalism that exists in this country, and Malcolm X wanted us to have a fair shake in that. And reaping the rewards of that work of our ancestors. So he fought tirelessly here in America and abroad to have us recognized, to have us be treated fairly. And if we could not, then to hold those accountable who would seek to oppress us and to subjugate us. His history just speaks to me since I entered Morehouse College in 1987 when I did. It has always spoken to me, the fierceness in which he addressed injustice, the fierceness in which he addressed or attacked someone who would lie about our contribution to the world, someone who would, again, seek to subjugate us for their own personal gain or their insecurities. So I've just always been a champion of Malcolm X and his legacy and what he's contributed, not just to the Black community, but to the world. So I look forward to wherever I am celebrating his birthday, May 19th, and celebrating the entire month of May. I just kind of get into Malcolm X mode. I'm going to read some of the different five or six books that I have about him or by him. I'm going to talk and engage people in conversations about what they think about Malcolm X. What would Malcolm say now? So it was that spirit, that mindset that I had marching toward May, that this was in April, but marching towards me, I thought, man, wow, how about that? We're not going to have a Malcolm X Festival, you know? And the Malcolm X Festival here in Atlanta is huge. It's a beautiful event full of Black folk out there just celebrating who we are and celebrating our culture and celebrating our legacy and our contribution to the world. So I thought to myself, we're not going to have that. That's disappointing. I have to be in a house sheltering in place, and that's not going to take place. And then so I thought to myself, I'm a teacher. My wife's a teacher. I'm a good teacher. She's an outstanding teacher. Love you, Andrea. So she is routinely engaging her students in Zoom calls. I'm doing some of it, but she has mastered it. So I said to my wife, I said, sweetheart, do you think it would be possible for me to have some kind of event to honor Black history and to honor Malcolm X on Zoom? You know, much like we're having these calls with our students and with administrations in our buildings. And she just thought, you know, Sean, sounds like a great idea. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to. So I pitched it to a dear friend of mine and confidant, Dr. Candy Tate here in Atlanta, and also to a dear friend of mine and confidant, and both of them mentors as well, Ms. Barbara Dunn at Asala National. And they both thought it was a great idea. So I moved forward with it, put together an email, and contacted all the branches whose emails I had from around the country. And from there, told them what my idea was and asked them for some help. And I specifically said I wanted to put on a Zoom call event where we all would celebrate our history, celebrate Malcolm X. It does not have to be. Your contribution does not have to specifically be about Malcolm X. So it can be about anything having to do with our Black history. And it can be nationally or it could be internationally. But whatever contributions we've made around the world, which are many and multiple, if you have something you'd like to contribute, do so. And so we've done that. We have 12 branches so far that are going to contribute, and about 19 different performances, from book features to a short documentary on the three Black women who integrated Georgia State University. Dr. Glasgow out of Pittsburgh is going to speak to us about activism there in Pittsburgh, what that looked like in the 60s and 70s, and I have a young lady who's a student of his who's going to present on the Caribbean legacy of activism in the New York area where her grandparents and her parents are from. Have a poet laureate out of Maryland. She's going to present a poem that she wrote about Malcolm X. So we're going to have some great content. We're really looking forward to it.
Okay. Now, that's on the 16th. It's not on the 19th, right?
Correct, on the 16th, this upcoming Saturday. His birthday is, of course, Malcolm X's birthday, of course, on the 19th. But we're going to do it this Saturday from 12 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the 16th of May.
And that will be on Zoom?
It will be a Zoom call. I'm going to send that link out to persons and they're at the particular branches, and they're going to disseminate that link to members of their branches.
Okay. Well, make sure that you posted for this radio show, too, which will be archived as soon as about 15 minutes after we hang up. Okay.
Absolutely.
So other than that, Sean, what do you see for Asala for the rest of the year?
What do I see for Asala the rest of the year? Joan, excuse me. I really, really hope that talking to the several members of Asala that I know around the country, I'm originally from Chicago, so communicating with persons, Dr. Lionel Kimball in the Chicago branch and other persons, in, Mr. Ron Saunders, the head of the Pittsburgh branch, president of the Pittsburgh branch, and other persons that I know from around the country, Asala members, everyone's still excited. There is still, even though we're all sheltering in place with respect to the pandemic, and my prayers and empathy, my deepest prayers and empathy go out to those who have been affected adversely, either by death or sickness or illness with respect to the pandemic. But there's still some excitement about those of us who have to press forward, pressing forward, doing just that. So engaging in the business of Dr. Carter Z. Woodson's legacy and his dream, and that is teaching and disseminating, educating as much as we can the history and the contribution of Black folk around throughout the world. So I believe, having had conversations about this Zoom call, this Zoom event that we're going to have on Saturday, that we're going to, I'm kind of the guinea pig here. I'm kind of the lab rat, right? We're going to see how this event that Sean has coordinated not by myself, but with the help of other persons, other members of Asala throughout the country. We're going to see how this goes on Saturday. So hopefully it's received well. I know we have some great content, so hopefully the event is received well. And that may be what different events will look like moving forward in branches throughout the country. I know for a fact the Pittsburgh branch is planning a online event as well in June. So this medium of Zoom and the internet, we're going to make it work for us. We may be sheltering in place because we all want to not spread the virus. We want to be responsible for ourselves and our families and our fellow man. So we're sheltering in place. But we're gonna use this medium of the internet and Zoom to communicate to folk about Asala and our mission to disseminate Black history throughout the diaspora.
Okay, and that's exactly why I started this podcast for our branch. You are our fifth guest, I think. You're our sixth guest. So every week on Tuesdays, I'm doing this show with someone new from Asala. We had Sylvia last week. Okay, well,
she was great.
Yes. It's a busy time for those of us who are still doing what we do.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So, you know, what would you tell, you know, how are you teaching your ninth graders? Are you teaching online?
Yes, we're using that Zoom platform and some other specific programs specific to the particular county, the school system that I work for, and my wife is doing the same. So we're using that. We're using this technology. We're using this technology as best we can to communicate to students and to communicate and stay engaged with family and friends as well.
Okay, and so have you had any feedback from your students as to, you know, okay, let me put this, because I've been teaching online too, and I find that, and it's really a little uncanny, but it's true, that a lot of my Black students don't have good internet connection. Are you finding that to be true?
I find that to be true. That unfortunately, there are some struggles. There are some challenges with respect to kids having access to computers, kids having access to the internet on a consistent basis. I know some of my fellow teachers in other school districts have had their students, along with a parent, drive to the school to access a secure Wi-Fi network that's consistent. So they're sitting in the parking lots doing their homework on their laptop, in their mom and dad's car, or on the phone in their mom and dad's car doing work. So I do know for a fact, having spoken to other teachers, friends of mine, that has been a challenge. But like any other challenge, it's something, you know, you just kind of stand in front of it and tell it that you're not going anywhere, and we try to beat it back as best we can and overcome it and conquer it. And I do know that there have been some, I've had some successes. I know my wife has had some successes and our coworkers as well, reaching kids and having them see your face on a Zoom call and still let the kids know, communicate to the kids that I'm still here for you. I'm not going anywhere. And until this school year ends, I'll be here for you. So there have been some challenges, but there have been a great many successes as well.
Yeah, well, I just posted. I had 110 students starting out. At the end, I only had 94, because most of them, I would say that about 9 of them couldn't get online. And
really?
I teach at Palm Beach State College. So some of them, I lost 16 students out of 110. Some of them had dropped out before, because when they come into my class, they don't understand that they have to work. But anyway, I just think it's interesting. I'm interested to know whether students feel like there something is being taken away from them as far as education is concerned at this time, you know. But that might be a good thing, because that gives parents the opportunity to teach them at home, you know.
I would say so, Joan. I would also say this, Joan. I really hope, now, people are saying this online. People are all over the Facebook and the Internet and saying how much they appreciate teachers, and, of course, politicians are doing the same. But I really, really hope, for the sake of the teaching profession, that people, parents in particular, really, really start to champion having teachers champion the cause of teachers, and that cause being having programs, schools that are properly funded, having programs, after-school programs that are properly funded in this day and age of cutting back the music program and the sports programs and the other extracurricular endeavors that the kids engage in that make them a whole person, that make the kid a whole person. I really, really hope that parents in particular and start to speak to the politicians locally and nationally about properly funding schools, properly appreciating and paying teachers, compensating teachers, because we deserve it. Teachers deserve it. There isn't a person, you included and myself included, that wasn't impacted by a teacher, either at the elementary level, the high school level, or the collegiate level, that we aren't appreciative for what they gave to us and what they brought to our life. I would not be the person I am, and I think I'm a pretty good person. My friends and fraternity brothers and family members tell me I'm a pretty good guy, but I know I wouldn't be as passionate about educating myself and my family and friends about Black history and African history. I wouldn't be that person. I wouldn't have an appreciation and love for Malcolm X and his legacy if it were not for me attending Morehouse College. So the teachers there impacted me, and I think about it, and I'm appreciative of it every day of my life, just like a couple of teachers from my earlier years impacted me. So I really, really hope that's something that comes out of this, that there is a greater appreciation, an appreciation that you put your money where your mouth is behind education, public education in particular, in this country. You know, there are kids that are at these public schools that, They're forgotten about. I'll be honest with you. In my opinion, they're forgotten about. They're forgotten about. They are, and because their schools are underfunded, because the value isn't placed on an education as it should be, unless it's one that you can pay for at a private school or something like that. But there's a lot of political double talk when it comes to funding educations in states and things of that nature. We've seen that, Joan. You've seen that with the boycotts and the protests, with teachers going on strike, and with Oklahoma, West Virginia, California, Chicago, my hometown. You know, that's really a shame. Everyone in this country is impacted by a teacher at some point in time in their lives. Malcolm X, the famous story of him being told that a Negro boy, and I don't think the white man called him a Negro boy, that wanting to his desire to practice law, to be an attorney, that wasn't a good aspiration for a Negro boy, right? So either positively or negatively, but I hope coming out of this pandemic that that's something positive that changes in society.
I do, too. I agree with you. And the lack of respect for teachers and the lack – see, I don't know if it's just in the South, because I think in the North, teachers do get a decent salary. They may not get what they deserve, but they get a far more decent salary than you do in the South, you know. And I believe that the lack of respect for teachers is why we're in this pandemic, you know, that teachers are not held in high esteem, but the people that create this biological warfare are. held in high esteem. And I think the script needs to flip. You know, people need to come back down to earth and understand the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and stop trying to create a whole other world. I'm baffled by the whole country being a Christian country, and we're telling elderly people, oh, well, you should want to sacrifice your life. But, I mean, you know, there is madness. There is straight up insanity going on in this country, and I would just like to see it come back to a point of sanity.
I agree, Joe. It makes you think that you need to push back on that entire premise about it being a Christian country, right? If, in fact, you're willing to sacrifice so many thousands of people's lives to turn a buck. So, yeah, I would agree with you there. With respect to teachers being paid, being compensated better in northern cities, well, you know, cost of living may have something to do with that. But I know for a fact, as I said, born and raised on the south side of Chicago, shout out to Chi-Town, that teachers in Chicago, my friends in New York and in Cleveland, my family in Detroit, things like that, teachers are underpaid all over the country, unfortunately, but impactful nonetheless. Teachers are still turning out brilliant people, you know, like the Tony Fauci's of the world, who spoke. I heard a broadcast from some years back about him talking about how instrumental teachers were in his life. And you're right. We do need to start listening to the science and the knowledge of persons who have gone to school and taken the time to dedicate their lives to just that, educating themselves about whatever the particular discipline may be, and stop listening to some of these politicians who are trying to rent a vote and turn a buck and turn a blind eye to science and education. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Absolutely. Well, listen, have a great show. Send me the link. Just because our chapter is not part of it, we want to know what you're doing, okay?
Absolutely. I will definitely get that to you.
Okay, Sean. Thanks so much for being here, and I'll share this.
Joan, God bless. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Ashe and Yahuru.
Ashe. All right. Peace now.